discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's right.
Okay, kiddo, what's happening?
Oh, nothing. How are you today?
Not bad. We're going to have on the, we're going to talk to the U.S. Military All-Stars baseball team here pretty soon.
Oh, great.
And then we're going to talk to, Ryan out of Colorado.
Okay.
And from, you're calling in from where?
From Illinois, south side of Chicago.
Okay. How was your day?
My day was good. It was rainy, kind of icky here today, but we're supposed to be up to 87 degrees. We're going into the heat.
Going into the heat?
Yes.
Well, you know, my day started at 2:45. I left here at 4:20. I headed to the coast. I went south on I-5. I went down to, I ended up at the border. I realized I had to turn around and go back.
Oh, nice. We already have visitors.
Yeah, exactly. So, basically, Well, I got to the border and then realized I had to turn around and go back the other way.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to say hi to everybody who's here in the chat because I don't have my computer. So, hello to everyone.
Yeah, I got.
I wasn't late today.
Oh, you're actually pretty good today.
Yes, last week it was kind of stressful, but today is okay.
So. Yeah, like I said, I got to the border, and then I realized I had to turn around so I could go back to go to work. But it said,
were
you
not paying attention?
Yeah, no, I was enjoying the ride.
Oh, of course.
It was about 60 degrees, a little
misty.
Oh,
perfect.
Yeah, a little misty, but everything worked out pretty good.
Well, at least thank God it wasn't raining because I know being in the back of a bike and the rain is like pellets hitting your skin. It hurts.
Nah, it wasn't that bad. It was, hello, Bobby. Bobby's joining us from up north.
Hi, Bobby. Sorry, I'm not on the computer. So, hi, Art, Bobby, whoever, Marion, Fran, whoever's there.
And then I just posted a link for Bobby that what happened was it's an assembly bill, and I'll tell you about it in a second here as soon as I post this. I kind of screwed it up, but I instead of writing one thing first, I typed something else. And,
wow.
Yeah, it's a call to action. It was sent out by the U.S. Defenders, and what it is. It's Assembly Bill 1047. It's Assembly Member Jeffrey's bill to stop motorcycle-only checkpoints.
Okay.
The bill is scheduled for a hearing in the Senate Transportation Committee on May 8th. So I need everybody to get letters, faxes, or phone calls in support of this bill done as soon as possible.
Okay. I was going to say, if you can send it to me, I'll do what I can with my phone. Okay.
Yeah, and what I'll do is I'll send that to you in an email later on. But what it is I got the link. I put the link in there to get to your state senator and find out what district you're in. And it's and a sample letter. They put a sample letter in here, and all you got to do is just bug the shit out of these guys. Tell them you want them to vote no on this.
Okay.
Yeah, because
sounds good to me.
Yeah, because the blue gang is the one that's they're the biggest crooks out there. You know, I got some stuff going on downtown again. They're threatening guys. They took their knives that were issued to them by the military.
Right.
And
what? They're giving a hard time because it's military issue and they can't carry them?
Yeah, that, and when they asked him for a receipt, like I told him, the guy said, well, you know, I can arrest you for a felony. So
why? It's military issue.
I understand
they're
that.
They're active military, correct?
Correct.
Well, then why are they giving a hard time? Because they have to go by military.
Right. But see, what happens is they're just picking on anybody that's on a bike, anybody wearing any kind of gear to support whoever.
Right. Well, see,
jumping on
that's
everybody.
Why you guys need to be here, because that doesn't happen here.
Well, you know, I was there.
I know. You grew
18,
up here. I know.
18 years
I'm not
of my
that
life.
Far from your family.
I know. But, yeah, you know, it's kind of...
Yeah, they wanted to that catch 22. Meaning,
no,
in
gonna
regard...
have to go down and, yeah, I'm going to have to go down and school them again because this isn't right. They're just jumping on people for whatever.
Exactly,
I mean, these guys...
and they shouldn't do that at all. I'm sorry. I mean, military has their own rules, has their own regulations, has their own way, okay? So when they have to step off from the base, okay, for whatever reason it be, now... It's not like the enforcement doesn't know this, but
right.
Unfortunately they don't know all the rules, all the regulation. They do know pretty much.
Well, no,
but,
here's the thing, okay? What I'm trying to tell people is half these guys were in the military.
Right.
They were either in the Navy or in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
So it goes back to the little guy with the big gun syndrome.
Exactly.
You know?
Mine's bigger
than
yours, and I win. Right.
Well, no, it's my time to pick on them, you know?
No, I get that. But in essence, it's, you know, mine is bigger than yours, so we go my way. And it doesn't work that way, you know? So if anybody understands military life, they know. And unfortunately, you know, not enough public is aware.
No.
But that's where we come in.
Right.
Well, a lot of you, in regards to, because of your background, but, you know, it's other people that are not familiar, this is where they learn. And this is where it's taught. This is how it is.
Uh-huh. And the funny part is they just do it, you know, these guys, they've been out here, some of them are in the Wounded Warrior Battalion, some of them are coming back. Some of them, you know, it's just going out to just relax, get off the base, you know, get out in the world, and then get this shit happen to you, you know?
Exactly.
I know when I was told, hey, I don't want to see your face till Monday. You didn't see me till Monday. I went somewhere.
Well, of course. You know, anybody that gets that leave, okay, is their way of, you know, this is my time. I'm off the base. I'm putting my knees in the breeze. Or I'm going out. I want to go see a show, whatever the case may be. But they want to be able to relax, you know. I mean, especially like if it's semen, you know, they're out for how long at a time? So when they finally come back in, you know, it's like, you know, I want to bust out of here and just, you know, go relax. That's all it is. They just want to get out and cut loose off the base. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing.
No.
But unfortunately, they're going to be harassed. Why? They're military. Why? Because they're able to have military things that they can have on their person.
Right.
Enough just to pull them over.
No, and as many hits as my... I'll tell you something right now. As many hits as my blog has gotten, okay, on the knife laws in California, okay, I've got 97,192 page views to read that knife laws in California is illegal to carry.
Right. That's a lot. People want to know.
Yeah. And today, just a little while ago, we went over 70,127 people.
And there you go.
Most of today,
the word out is what's helping, period.
Right. And most of today was the knife laws and that Laughing Devils MC TV show that's going to be on. I don't know about that one, but that's where we're going.
Is that only in one state, or is that showing nationwide? Because I don't recall seeing that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. And then
just something to laugh at. I know you were being serious, and I just had to laugh. Sorry.
I mean, it's okay. It's just like when I went to Arizona, and I got a ticket from Homeland Security, which I never thought in my wildest dreams that you can get a ticket. But this thing says warning, equipment, and repair order.
Right. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Come on. You know, is somebody just that scared or that nervous? What is it? You know, I don't know.
I'm waiting for Ryan's supposed to call in. I just sent him a message. He might be where his phone's not working. So what we're gonna do is I'll get the guys here from tonight's flight. We're gonna interview military
players.
Yeah, baseball players. They have a big thing going on Sunday. They tried to. I didn't find out about this till the other day, which is kind of bad. But let me ring these guys up and we'll go from there.
Okay. We're ringing.
I'll try the other guy right now first.
Okay.
The bad part is this thing, sometimes it's so slow, and I'm trying to dial, and then I'm not talking. But, yeah, these guys they have a big thing going. I seen this guy the other day when I walked out of work.
Well, I can't wait to hear about it.
Yep.
And then get to ask questions.
That's it.
Hello.
Hello, Ray.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good. This happens to be Ray Judy. He's one of the military all-stars. I'm gonna ask you to hold on a second. I'm gonna dial up the commander here.
Okay, go ahead.
We'll get him going.
All right, that sounds great.
Right now I have Nora's on the line. She was all excited because she found out that we were gonna talk to some baseball players.
can she hear me?
No, you gotta love sports. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate everything, Nora. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. You just gotta be a sports fanatic. That's me.
You gotta be, right, from where you're at.
Well, I'm in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Commander.
Word.
Hey, this is Philip. I have Ray, and my co-host this evening is Nora. She's on the line from Chicago.
All right.
We got some people in the chat room, and we got people listening. And I happened to walk out of work the other day, and I ran into Ray and his little setup out there about baseball and your event on Sunday. So I was talking to my co-host, which is Nora, and she's a sports nut. So she was all excited. She found out she was going to be able to talk to some baseball players tonight who happen to be military all-stars. And I'll let you guys tell Nora what's going on, as well as the rest of the listening audience.
That's great. Well, we're excited.
Yeah, it can either be Ray or Commander first, or you guys can take turns, however you want to do it.
Yeah, Commander, go ahead, sir.
Well, we're excited. I'm happy you ran into Ray, and thanks for having us on board here. Our program was established way back in 1990 at the request of President Bush. And so far, we've had about 25,000 people. We've been to 45 states and 12 countries. And we basically field the most talented team of first responders and military personnel on the planet. And we wear all camouflage uniforms with the USA logo, and the S is a yellow ribbon shaped in the form of an S in support for the troops. And that's basically our mission, is to promote the awareness and support for our brave men and women that are at the tip of the spear. And who better to do that than people have already been out there? So,
right.
Guys like Ray.
I'm a retired Marine, and Bill was my partner. Bill, who usually does the show with me, he couldn't be here with us tonight, but he was in the Army. But 1985, 86, and 87, I was on the All-Marine boxing team.
Oh, wow.
How do you do that?
Right.
Hoorah.
So
we'll give you a hoorah. Hoorah.
Yeah,
hoorah.
Hoorah. I'm sorry. Okay, now do I address you as Commander? Because I don't want to do anything to disrespect your...
Call me Crash, please. The Bull Durham came out around the same time, and I was a catcher when I played, and everything kind of lined up, and I had a couple of incidents when I was flying in the Navy, so Crash just kind of happened and stuck. So that's short and easy.
It's okay. I just don't want to do anything to disrespect your standing, that's all. Now, in regards for the places that you traveled, how far west, because I'm assuming you're in California, correct?
We are. We're based in San Diego this year, but we've actually rotated our spring training to a number of different sites.
Now, have you ever come to Chicago as far east?
Absolutely. We played at the Windy City Thunderbolts. We did a charity fundraiser for Chicago PD. And it was a great game. And we let them win by one in the last inning just so their fans would be happy.
That was
a great event, by the way. That was a great event.
Actually,
now,
you guys
if
did
I would have known...
we got arrested on the way out.
Did you really?
No,
I wouldn't put it past those guys. But, yeah, some things like that have been known to happen, especially. So NYPD, when we first showed up to play them, they invited us to a party the night before. And we went in and we had a party and everything was great. And then we played them the next day and we beat them. And then the next day we had a party and they made us pay. So,
Yeah,
you know.
Turn about
that's
a fair
okay.
play.
That's the pay.
No,
hey, that's what you got to pay, I guess, to for winning, I believe.
Exactly.
That's right.
You got to pay the bill.
Now, where you guys played here, that's not far from me. That's maybe probably about 8 minutes from me. I know the park very well. Now, how often do you travel? Or does that just depend? Do you have to set things up like a year in advance, or how does that work?
Yeah, most of the time people will book us a year in advance, and we try to lay out our schedule. Like we know right now, next year we'll be going back to Alaska for the Midnight Sun game. We'll go back on June 22nd for that. So what we do is we just have to build everything else around that for our travel, and it just how we used to do it when we were rooks is we would schedule a game in New York, and the next day we'd be in Florida, and the day after that we'd be in Texas, and we were driving, and that didn't work out too well.
No, probably not. Because that's like, from here to Texas, that's a 17, 18-hour drive, if you go straight through. So, yeah, I can understand where. Now, I hope you guys fly, or do you still drive?
No, we drive. We're not at the point of, you know, of course, obviously, that's our goal. Yeah. We really want to. We want to minimize and really eliminate all the costs to the guys. And really what we've done now is we've got it down to where they pay for their uniform if they want to keep it and they're going to be long enough. If they only come out, and some guys can only play one game. So we've had pitchers that have thrown one inning.
Wow.
So, you know, we rotate through. One year we had 157 players rotate through. That's the most we ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And so they rotate quite often, so we try to solidify that. We are not your basic baseball team by any stretch of the imagination. We don't have a set, you know, hey, you know, we're going to have spring training for 2 weeks and we're going to pick the guys and these guys are our guys and we're going to take off and go. It just doesn't happen that way. Our guys are coming and going the entire tour.
Okay. Now, in regards to, is it each game, do you have different charities that you do, or is it the same type of charities that you do the games for every time you play?
Well, in for all of our years, okay, this is our 23rd year, and we've been going out and expanding our tour every year since 2005. And part of the reason why, you know, we're not probably as well known as people might think is we've changed our name 3 times because we've been the Navy team, we've been the Marine Corps team, we've been Heroes of the Diamond. When we came out with our children's book, we changed our name and we thought that was a great idea. And now we're switching back to U.S. Military All-Stars. Now, to answer your question, we've partnered with all kinds of charities and every ballpark that we went to is different. We would say, hey, folks, everybody bring something and we're going to put it in a care package and we're going to help Operation Gratitude send care packages, which we did. You know, they're up over half a million care packages gone and Harley Davidson's and everything else. So they were a great partner. And then, you know, sometimes it's leukemia, sometimes it's MS. You know, we just did an MS walk this weekend. So we help as many charities as we possibly can. But where we're at now, what we're seeing now in the last 2 years, which is unfortunate, but it's become a reality, is more and more of our folks are coming back, or they're not coming back, but they're coming back as wounded warriors. And we've had a number of guys come back now that need prosthetics. And what we've done is we've helped with Louisville Slugger stand up an all-amputee softball team. And the goal here is for all these guys that have played baseball to come back, get on this all-amputee softball team, play on it, feel comfortable, get ready to roll, get a better prosthetic, try to get an athletic one that will help them move a little better. And then when they feel comfortable, maybe they can move up and play baseball. So that's what we want to do.
You
so our entire goal this year and moving on at all of our places is to help that one single charity. Now, we'll be helping other charities just by going through there.
Right.
Yeah, and we really need to do that. And the other part is, too, every year, like last year or 2 years ago, we were in Philly. We finally bought a bus, and we had our bus vandalized in Philly. And our bus is still sitting in Virginia, and we've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for other people. And my guys sit at me and go, hey, where's the bus? And I said, we didn't have enough money to get it fixed. So, you know, and it's still sitting there. So we really, you know, they're like, look, we help a lot of people. There's probably nothing wrong with us doing a little bit for ourselves to try to get us, keep us going where we're going. And and that makes a lot
which
of sense.
Is understandable. Correct.
Yeah, but that wasn't our motive.
No, I know. And like I said, in regards to what you're doing and your goal, your focus for the wounded warriors, you know, when they come back home, you know, I met one last fall and with prosthetics, and it all I could do is just shake his hand and thank you. It's not always going to make a difference, but if more people were that open,
Bill and I usually what we do is we go down to the VA and we have women who do certain things and women who are in certain things, and they send us pictures and we take them down to the VA. We pass them out to the guys, or we bring 3 or 4 or 5, 6 strippers with us and we take them down there with us. And we spend the day there with the guys. And, basically, they don't want to know when we're coming back. They want to know when we're bringing the girls back. But what we've been doing,
obviously.
Well, the thing is, there's so many different organizations and people that are doing so many things. I like the fact that we go in, we do a game, we go into the community, we do the media, we do VFW visits, we go visit the Wounded Warriors, we visit the VA hospitals. We've probably been to more VA hospitals than any other group. If, you know, your listeners right now, they're probably sitting in front of the computer right now. You know, I really highly encourage you, minimize your screen and keep listening, but, you know, go check us out at usmilitaryallstars.us. You know, watch a couple of videos and see what we've got going. Take a look at our schedule. See when we're coming to a city near you and come out and see us and meet us. We'd love to see you.
Thank you, because I was just going to ask if you had a website.
Sure.
Me do it. But, yeah, like I said, what a wonderful thing. And, you know, as soon as Phila told me that we were going to be speaking with you and Ray, it was,
yeah.
Oh, this is wonderful. And they're military. Ooh, that's how you guys say it. If I say it wrong, I apologize. But, yeah, it's a wonderful thing what you guys are doing. And all the years you've been doing it, it's wonderful. And I have cousins that are active and one that just retired after 25 years. So, you know, like I said, I understand how a lot of the military works. A lot of it I'm still not up to because there's things that even though my one cousin's retired out, he cannot talk about it, you know. But it's a wonderful thing, you know, in regards to what you guys are doing. And hopefully the show will bring more listeners, more viewers to your site and to get out there and spread the word and have more people, you know, show up at all your baseball games.
Yeah, what I'd like to do, you guys, I'm pretty sure, Ray, I think I mentioned it to you, we're going to have Military Appreciation Day at Big
right.
Harley-Davidson in San Marcos, California. And
right, that sounds like a... Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys are available next, not this Saturday, but the next Saturday, that would be...
That would be the weekend, a Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, we would love to. I think we leave on tour. What is that, Terry? Our crash. I think it's the 26th, correct?
Yeah, we'll be leaving the 26th. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll make you a deal. The VFW Motorcycle Club is leaving from Lemon Grove on Sunday, and they're escorting the Ground Zero flag to Tony Gwynn Stadium for our ceremony, and we're going to be presenting that to Sergeant Ayala, and also a Wounded Warrior. From way back, World War II, who fought at Normandy. So we've got them and a few other people that are going to be recognized, but the motorcycle guys are going to escort it. So if you've got some connections with Harley here up in San Marcos or Harley, you know, New York Mike down there in Kearney Mesa, you know, all these guys that ride, you know, jump on your bike and come on over to Encanto, the Lemon Grove post right there off of Broadway. You know, try to come there around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon and escort that flag over. That would just be awesome. And the bikes are going to come on down onto the field and present that flag and be part of the whole ceremony. So, well, that would be great.
I'll put that out in the network for you because, like, Sunday there's an event going on at New York Mike's and it's probably going to end around 2 or 3. So, yeah, I'll make sure that word gets down there for you.
Yeah, every Saturday night, New York Mike's got a band and some things going. We were there a few months ago with the big, huge freedom flag that has been going around. And,
right.
Yeah, we've been to a lot of these places. So, yeah, by all means, if there's an opportunity for us to be there and do something with you guys, then that's what we're here for.
That's
okay.
Wonderful. Now, when does your season normally start?
We normally get started.
So you guys are in California, so you don't get a winter like we do.
Yeah.
Well, we do have the big event starting this Sunday,
right.
At Tony Gwynn Stadium. But our first actual game on the road is in New York, and that's on June 2nd, right, Terry?
Right. Yeah. But we've already our teams. We start in February. January,
okay.
February, we start. We do events year-round. Like in January, we went and did a presentation at the Anaheim Ducks. You know, we've done rodeos and football games, you name it. If they do an anthem, then we're there. We do a passing the flag ceremony at all of our events, and we've been able to cross that over to any type of event that does an anthem. And then in addition to that, when spring training gets going, we send guys to Florida and also to Phoenix. We spent a month in Phoenix, and we partnered with Mojo, who put on this American Arm Contest, and it was at the Padres' home spring training thing along with Seattle Mariners. And all month, people got to throw in this pitching machine, see who could throw the fastest, and the winner won an Audi A4 in that contest. So that was
wonderful.
Pretty cool.
Nice.
I would say so. That's something very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, we got a. What Bill and I do is we're collecting wheelchairs. I want to put you guys. I'm going to enlighten you guys right now.
All right.
We collect wheelchairs. We get them refurbished and everything. Then we go out to the VAs, and we give them to guys there. I'd say almost a year ago, a friend of ours was up in Yorba Linda at the VA. And there was an older guy from Korea. He had his daughter and his grandchildren with him. And it was real hot that day, and she was pushing him in a regular wheelchair. And they were just having a hell of a time. And the guy took him out to the van and got the motorized chair, and we gave him a motorized chair that day. But, yeah, anybody that's got any kind of wheelchairs or anything laying around that nobody's using, we'll come and get them and just let you know that they go to a good cause. Because it takes our guys at the VA, it takes a year to a year and a half to get them a wheelchair. You believe that,
Jenna? I can't understand that. I really can't. And because for every man and woman that has been throughout history with the military, I will never understand why the VAs take as long as they do and the extensive paperwork you got to do just to get benefits or just to get the help.
Because it's a government program.
Exactly.
I know. It makes me sick. You know, there's men and women out there that need so much help, and they have to wait and wait and wait and go through the process, see if the paperwork goes through, and it's just horrendous. I mean, there's got to be something out there that is more or easier accessible for the men and women that have been, throughout the wars, whatever the case may be, because this is just ridiculous. It is.
Well, it's visibility. It's visibility, and they need to be at the front. And, you know, the last few wars that we have, when they drag on a decade or more, people lose interest, unfortunately, and their mind is not on it. And I think that's why more now than ever, what we do is really important. That's why we're real, you know, this for us to be able to finally do an event back here in San Diego this weekend, this Military All-Star Celebrity Classic, where we're bringing in all kinds of major leaguers and celebrities to come do this and bring some attention to this and put on a game. I think there's a lot of people here in San Diego that don't even know we're in their own town. So,
if it wasn't for Phil stating, in regards to speaking with you both this evening, I would not have known.
Right.
I said, that's the unfortunate thing. The word has to get out. People have to know. And the only way to do that is with the help, with you both being here, getting out the website and saying, okay, come on, check it out. Let's get involved. Let's get the word out. Because at least that way it gets more people to be visible in regards to the cause, helping, and going out and enjoying a ball game all at the same time.
That's right.
Who doesn't enjoy a ball game?
Definitely.
Well, I
know there's
people out there, but I'm sorry. When you're in Chicago, you got to be a sports fan. Serious diehard.
That's right.
I don't know how they are in California, but here it's hockey, football, baseball, I'm not too keen on soccer, but
I'm hoping my Bulls still got a chance. They were winning without Derek. Maybe they can do it too.
Oh, you are a Bulls fan. See? How cool is that?
Well, there you go. Go Chicago, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I know the Bears aren't
Ravens.
The greatest, but hey, we try.
But yeah, I'd like to, you guys can come back if you would come back on Thursday. My partner will be here, and we'll get it out again for you guys on Thursday.
Well, that'd be great.
Right.
Love
or
it.
As much as you guys would like to call in and keep letting, not that we will forget, but we get different listeners. At this point, I think we are, Phil, at 48 countries besides
mm-hmm.
the USA that listen to us every Tuesday and Thursday night.
Well, for all those that are actually going to be here in California this Sunday, this weekend,
right.
I think they do have the tickets available online. Is that my understanding,
yep.
Crash?
Yep.
That it's still available. So if anybody wants to actually go to this event at the Classic here, I believe the gates open at 5 and the tickets are online. They're only $10, and the proceeds benefit the Wounded Warriors and
okay.
Military All-Stars. And I believe they're $10 a piece. It's for a great cause, and they'll be able to see a fireworks show, a flyby. They'll see two games, celebrity softball game, a celebrity baseball game. All they have to do is go to our website, which is usmilitaryallstars.us, and purchase the tickets there. So
we would love
to have anybody come out.
Right. Too bad you guys were stationed actually in California, but it's nice you guys travel and go other states. So, you know, which is a wonderful thing because then people can see you all over. It's not just
right.
directed in California only,
right.
which is, like I said, a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing.
Well, I appreciate you guys having us on tonight.
It's a really big event. Wonderful.
And like Crash said, all you have to do is go to our website, click on the schedule, see what town we're going to next, and if we're going to your town, we would love to have you come out to the ball field and check out a great game.
Right.
And,
well,
my other thing that I will extend to you guys is whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, keep me in the loop with an email, and I'll post it to the blog for you.
Right. We'll get the word out.
That would be great.
Because
today,
everybody hits that blog.
Yeah, because today I was telling you about, you know, the hits I got today. Well, today when I got here, I had 70,194 hits today on that.
Wow. That's a lot of bloggers. That's a lot of bloggers out there nowadays.
You know, it gets higher, you know, and like I said, they seem to like us. You know, I'm just a fill-in. You know, when Bill's not here.
Nora, you're doing a great job, and you're from the Chi-Town.
Yes, I am. Southside.
I love watching the Cubs. I love watching the Cubbies play.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, just said the wrong thing. You gotta be a Sox fan.
Come on, Ray. Learn the lingo, man. Wow, you're not talking a lot like our assistant
the
GM,
North
Lolly,
side
is a
are the Cubs fans.
Cubs fans.
The South side
yep.
is the Sox fans. It's okay. Unfortunately, my kids are Cubs fans.
I'll send you guys to call in Thursday. We'll give a last go around for you guys, and we'll see
right.
how things work.
Okay.
Yeah, like Phil said, please keep us updated so we can get your information out there, so we can post out your schedule, and, you know, we can get people to go follow you. And if you come to Chicago, way to go. Here we go.
just to give you guys a little interest on where we're at right now, in Australia we got 5,103 people listening. Canada we got 705. Germany, we got 405. In Great Britain, we got 2,227. Russia, we got 218. New Zealand, we got 163. France, we got 121. In China, I told you about, we're up to 45
now.
That's
against the law in China.
In India, we got 41. Indonesia,
right.
we got 4. Slovenia, we got 3. France, we've got some. Cuba, we got 3 guys in Cuba. They must be at Guantanamo.
Well, I'll tell you, all your Canadian listeners will be up there for the Grand Forks tournament.
at the end of August into September. The Grand Forks tournament should be a lot of fun. It'll be a 4 days. The Team Canada will be up there, and our military team, I think the UCLA team's going up there, and a couple of other surprise teams. But that should be a lot of fun. The fans come out. That's a great time. So we're looking forward to going there.
You know, because then you get to meet the people as well, you know, which is wonderful. Yeah. I mean, it's just wonderful what you guys do. And, you know, I wouldn't have known how long you guys were doing this for if it wasn't for this evening. So I'm just impressed. I'm just, okay, wow, woo, here we go.
All right, well, so let me put a word out to your 70,000 fans. Let's get online and buy a USA camo cap and support. We'll be your new team. Let's go.
Do you have anything other than caps by any chance?
Of course. Yeah, we've got great jerseys. Our jerseys you can get, we wear historical references. For example, if you wear number 7, you're Pearl Harbor. If you wear number 1, you're Washington for the first president. Or you're the First Amendment, number 1, pretty popular one.
Okay.
Well, you've got to be careful with that one because Obama just made free speech a felony.
Well, the ball's rolling. I don't know what to tell you there, but we try not to get political. We play ball and we support the troops, and that's it.
You know, so on your site we can purchase as well as knowing your schedule. Okay, great. That's wonderful.
And we got somebody from Quebec wants to know when you're going to be up there.
When is that? Quebec, you said?
Yeah, Quebec.
Oh, no, it'll be in Grand Forks, British Columbia.
Grand Forks, okay.
What
so
month, Terry?
You heard that, Kat. It's going to be in Grand Forks for you.
What month is that, Terry?
We'll be there the end of August. Yeah, it goes August 28th through September 4th.
Oh, Kat's going to have to go. Kat, get over there and meet these men.
Yep. Big tournament. Big tournament.
Nora, I wanted to say I really hope I played in Canada. I played minor league baseball before I came in the military. Real quick before we get off, I played 4 years of minor league baseball. I signed with the Dodgers, and I played in the North Atlantic League, which is in Canada. I was stationed in Canada and well in Canada. So I'm really looking forward to heading back up to Canada
there.
And seeing those. I'm looking forward to having some buffalo wings up there because I know Canada, they really rock with those buffalo wings up there.
Well,
so I can't really,
you know,
I can't wait to get back up there.
But now Chicago is known and better known for the Italian food.
Sure.
Oh, here we go.
The pizza, the lasagna. Well, homemade is better, but, you know, you just got to know the right places to go. You know?
We know where to go. When we go to Chicago, we go to the hot dog stand, and we go after midnight. And you know what happens after midnight at the hot dog stand, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I remember.
So,
you know what?
Right
for
a pork chop sandwich.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick Chicago story, okay? And no matter what, even when we go through there, all right, so sometimes we're transiting, like the last few years, we've been having to make these runs from like Pennsylvania or New York, and then we get up into Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Right.
So we're going through there, or we're going over to, or we're coming up from the Field of Dreams. So regardless, we all plan this out. We go, okay, here we go. We're only going to have 35 minutes. Inside Chicago. So what we do is we go right there to Wrigley, right when there's a game, and we go right around. We drop guys off. So I drop them off at all the different places, and I do a loop and come back and get them on Waveland, and off we go. So we'll go totally out of our way just to go there for a half an hour so guys can see what it's like, if that's all the time we have on tour.
Now, have you guys actually played baseball since you were kids, or you just started once you got into?
Ray's a guy. Ray played in the Dodgers organization, and he's been continuing his career. And me, I played college ball, and then I moved up. My goal was to play in the Olympic baseball team in 1984. That's what I was doing.
Bless you.
So,
whoever sneezed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Nora.
How far did you get after college, if you don't mind me asking?
I played indie. I played independent pro ball. And the thing is, back in 84, if you were going to play on the Olympic team, you had to maintain your amateur status. It's nowhere near like it is now. Anybody can play.
Right.
So, you know, it was totally different. So you needed invites and everything else. Corey Snyder was a teammate of mine. He went on. Mark McGuire was on that team. I'm okay I didn't make that team. I made the last, the day before the last cut is when I got released from the Olympic team. So I did okay.
Well, yeah.
You almost made it. You almost made it, though. That's the good thing. You almost made
exactly.
it. You made it. You proceeded your career, and you tried hard, and that's what you got to get.
You know, it takes dedication. It takes work, but that's why you guys are where you're at today, you know.
I'm over it, and I when I came in the Navy, I hadn't done anything with baseball for 6 years, and the only reason this ever happened is because I happened to be sitting at a dinner with President Bush, and he asked me how the base team was doing, and he played first base for Yale. Other than that, this would never have happened.
Well, you know what? Like I said, I still think this is a wonderful thing. Now, if you guys ever come through to Chicago, let Phil know ahead of time. If you want to bypass Wrigleyville, we could have your bus pull up and we could do an actual barbecue.
We'll do it. We have. I'll tell you, we
Let's
have. We right now. I think we've got four
on your bus.
We have four or five people from the Chicago area that are just dying to go back there every time. So I'm sure that number will add, and that would be great. We'd love to do that.
And if you want, I'll get a hold of my brother. He's a fireman over there, and they have a mini bar in the back of the firehouse. You guys can stop and have a drink and get a tour.
Yep.
If your brother's a fireman, then talk to him, because I'm sure he's heard of us, because they, you know, the team that we went there, we've played fire and police in Chicago. Dan Sheehan runs that team out there. And they do a really good job. So your brother, they're pretty tight-knit. I'm sure your brother's heard of our club, maybe even gone to see us play.
Exactly.
Now you
yeah,
just have
a,
to come a little bit into the suburbs.
Yeah.
Right. That's okay.
That's okay.
He had a scholarship to Northwestern. He was a quarterback.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've taken enough of your time. Thanks a lot for having
us
on.
Yeah, I just want to, hey, Terry. Let me explain something. We didn't put this out because I know you got a lot of people, and I know they're going to probably check out the website. But, Philip, I wasn't too sure if you knew that this is a nonprofit organization. So when these ball players, they go TAD to play baseball for the summer away from their commands, they're actually paying out of their own pockets to play. No cost.
Exactly. Well, I did the same thing with the boxing team, man. All we got was uniforms.
Exactly. So, you know what? If anybody out there that is listening that would love to actually donate to help with the team, they can actually go onto our website and click on the donate, and all the proceeds will actually benefit the team and help us out with any of the travel or the expenses for food or housing while we actually go to hotels. So if anybody would love to actually help us out, you know what? Even the smallest amounts, they add up. So
are you going to be where I saw you the other day, Friday, or sometime this week?
No, the next event that we have, I believe, is going to be we have a free baseball clinic on Friday night at the Murphy Canyon Little League here in San Diego. And then also we're going to be at the elementary school. Do you know exactly where the elementary school is, Terry?
Sure. We'll be playing at St. Mary's in Escondido. It's on 13th Ave, and we'll be going back for our rematch to play them in another game, and it's our team against their top 300 kids.
Wow. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's crazy when there are 300 kids out in the outfield trying to catch a ball.
But what's fun is just seeing their faces, because they're just so excited, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's great to go out there. You know what? You don't know how many kids you could touch out there and try to help them out and for their next, you know, the next step in their life, whether it's, you know, junior high school
and
whatnot.
You know what's helped us too, just telling our story is, you know, 2 years ago we came out with a Heroes of the Diamond kids book. And the book really just tells the story of what we do. And so when we go out to schools now, we go into the classroom and we share our story and read the book and have lunch with them and then play a game. And, those are pretty fun, and we continue to do those all year round. We don't do them
just
during baseball.
It is a wonderful thing because, the White Sox and the Cubs, say every year they have the children's training center camps, okay? And my youngest daughter, wanted to go in for the White Sox training center camp. She was the only girl, you know. She didn't care. She got out there just like the boys, you know, and played and everything else. But what was amazing is the look on her face, because she was able to get the signatures. She was able to meet them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They taught the skills unbelievable. Of course, they give nicknames, you know, and she, with her being the only female, she was Laverne DeFazio. So, you know, I mean, she's like, who is that at that time? But it's something that she remembers. She still, I'm sorry,
oh, yeah.
She still has
and
the
that's,
shirt.
That's exactly what we
else.
Want. That's why we do that, Nora. That's exactly,
exactly.
What it is. It's all about memory, you know.
Exactly.
That's what it's all about, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be able to, you know, take a young kid on under our wing and say, you know what, this is what it's all about. This is your next generation. So
exactly.
if we could actually help them and guide them to the right path, whether it's playing baseball, whether it's being active in the military,
right.
You know, or telling them to go to college, stuff like that, I think is what we try to do when we speak to young children. That's why it's always great for me to be able to go out there, because I've lived it. You know, I wasn't the best student in the world, but you know what? I did go to college. I did finish 4 years of college. I did play professional baseball. I did join the military. I played 9 years of baseball, and I'm continuing to help the program now as a coach. And I think that, you know what? I did it right, and that's what I want to be able to teach young kids today.
Exactly. You know, because not all kids have both parents. You know, and some of them are what we know as latchety kids. You know, they go home to an empty house, you know, because parents are working, you know, whatever the case may be. And it encourages them. And, you know, the difference of what you all do, you know, to focus the children other than what they could actually fall into, a bad path. You know, it's
right.
Just a wonderful thing, because they get so excited.
Right.
This is what I did. This is what I want.
Thank you so much.
You know?
Yeah. I'm really happy
welcome.
That you guys had us out, you know, to be able to put this out. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah,
well,
like I said,
you're very welcome. Just keep us informed, because we want to put your website out there for everybody to know.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks so much again. Thanks for having us again, Philip.
You're welcome.
Okay, you're welcome. Anything I can
okay.
do for you, you got the number, call me.
Most definitely. I hope all your listeners understand that, you know what, we're only a couple of clicks away on the Internet, so just come on by the website and take a look at it and check the schedule, and we'll see you at a ballpark near you.
Right.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great night. Okay.
Have a great night.
All right. Thank you, Nora. Bye-bye now.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
How wonderful is that?
Absolutely. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How do we follow that up now?
I don't know if you're able to follow that up. That's a hell of a story.
I don't think so, because that just, like, touched me like you won't believe. It's just amazing what these guys do. But it's good. I was very impressed to have them.
Oh, absolutely. I was able to jot down some of the information while you guys were talking. So it's the Wounded Warriors and Military All-Stars at usmilitaryallstars.us?
Correct.
Okay. I want to get on there and look up. And like I said, I only heard about half of the conversation, but definitely a good group to follow and find out if they're going to be in this neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Where are you from? I'm sorry.
He's in Colorado.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. It's been a while since I've been on, so totally understood.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know I remember you. I just couldn't remember where you were from, so I'm sorry. There's
no,
just so many
fine.
People sometimes.
What I wanted to
so
do, not much. Give me a minute here. But
okay.
there's a little kid back east in New York, and his name is Adrian Seeger. And he finally...
Adrian.
Yeah, he succumbed to his ALD. And,
that was very hard. That was very
yeah.
hard when I saw that.
I just put it up in the chat room, and if you'd like to, and Lou is sending flowers, they'd like you to make a donation to the Kennedy Krieger Foundation, And their doctor is Dr. Gerald Raymond. He's dedicated his life to the research for ALD. And it just started out with this little kid. His posse's got, it's over 20,411 members. They got 91 new ones today. But this came on with this kid, little kid. He wanted support and all that. And we gave it to him. And up until he passed, and he was just a good little kid and great looking little kid.
He was just so brave. You know, it's just so hard to know that a child went through what he did. You know, I mean, yes, he's out of pain, he's out of his illness, but he was a fighter. He was a fighter.
And an incredible example to everybody else, too, the way he kept upbeat about everything through everything he was going through.
Exactly.
So how he was able to do that.
Well, you know, and that's a difference I think that sometimes people overlook. Not saying that adults don't deal with things or have things going on in their lives, but sometimes it's like because being an adult, you kind of lose track of what it's like to be that child and to see the world in through a child's eyes. And, you know, fortunately, through his courage, bravery, that little boy just showed, you know, that's what touches people. You know, even the ones that forget, you know, you can't help but to just feel and just have so much I don't know how to phrase it, just so much joy in your heart to see a child just be that brave.
Yep.
Right. I remember when they first started his Aiden Has a Posse page. I forget what the young lady's name was that came on, but I believe the numbers were at 400 and something. And she was talking about how every time anybody was signing on and joining the page, how he was just lighting up and he kept running over to check his numbers.
It was important to him, you know, very important to him. And why not? You know, it was amazing to see, you know, how many people were just going right to his page and just being touched by, you know, seeing positive, nothing negative, just positive. You know, it just so that little boy could smile.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, I hope the family's doing okay. I know that's been quite the journey for them and definitely a hard situation to handle. So I hope they're all doing okay and realize they're in all of our thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take time for them to heal. It's very hard to lose a child.
I just put the link up in there. It's U.S. MilitaryAllStars.us. And, it's just a...
Yeah, do me a favor. Send that to my email when you get a chance. If not today, you know, soon. Because I want to check that out. Because I know that purchasing the shirts, you know, what they have, also helps them as well. So, you know, any part of donation that they can get is a tremendous help.
Exactly. Yeah, I like the idea.
Yeah, that was Commander Terry Alvord. He's the CEO of Military All-Stars. And Ray Judy... He's one of the players.
Yeah, I like the idea of the numbers following different events and the First Amendment and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. Cool setup.
It is.
Yeah,
especially
I just can't
one for Pearl Harbor. You know, that's an amazing one right there.
Right.
So what I want to do is, let me see here real quick. I'm gonna take a short break. I'm gonna play this one for
The boys.
Yeah, I'm gonna play this for Agent, but this one's by Eric Clapton, and I'll be right back. Hang on, Ryan.
All right.
This one's live.
Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven?
Yes, it is.
So, you got the email I sent you about the storm is coming, Ryan?
Yes, I did.
And basically, what it is this is an article by Matt Palizer. talking about the explosion in the volume of electronically stored information and the complexity of its discovery overwhelms the litigation process and the justice system. So basically, anything you say or put out there can be used against you anytime, anywhere. That quote was off, well, off Electronic Discovery Institute. Somebody's not sitting still. But, yeah, what would you take on that?
Well, you know, it's to the point now where your tweets, your text messages, anything you do on Google, you know, all of that stuff is stored in a database, and they can use it against you if they come across it and decide to. You know, with the way they're putting every single file that everybody has on the computer, they sure as hell better hope the computers don't go down, because we're going to have a whole lot of information lost, first off. But, you know, it's an invasion of privacy to be tapping into all of your information 24/7. But whenever it involves the government and it's something that they're doing, it ends up being okay. So, I don't know. I kind of think it's a crock of shit.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I don't use Google. Google was actually, from what I saw, was being stated in regards to being sued because of the privacy.
Right.
You know,
and
the sad thing is, you could sit there.
Through.
Well, the sad thing is, you could sit there, Google a name, and get information. It didn't have to be you.
Oh, yeah, they got. They got all kinds of crap. Spokio, you go on there and you can get anybody's personal information. Address, phone numbers, you know, financials, the whole nine yards. And
right. It's
free for anybody to look at, but if you want to take it off, you got to pay money and go through all these hoops and, you
exactly.
know, register at all these locations. It's bullshit. You know, you go down and want public records on the president and you're not allowed it because he filed some bullshit thing that says you can't touch it. But they
right.
have access to your information 24/7, and you can't do anything about it. A little bit backwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. You know, and that's
and
the thing.
Basically,
like,
what
how
it
come...
is, basically, what it is sometimes you deserve what you tolerate. You tell people
exactly.
enough. If you tell them long enough, they're just gonna do what they want to do. They're not gonna pay
right.
attention.
Right. Well, and the thing is, a lot of this crap they're not hearing about. Because you've got these Occupy Wall Street bastards that are out there stirring up a bunch of crap, so the news media is all over that. And while that's happening, some bullshit bill passes for, you know, saving a cow in India, and attached to that's a whole bunch of crap that eliminates your rights, and nobody notices it. So it's, you know, it's all going away, and nobody pays any attention to it. They're too busy keeping track of the Kardashians and every other celebrity out there to pay attention to what their rights are doing.
Right.
Exactly. And basically, you know, it comes down to, like, right now we got this AB bill about to stop motorcycle profiling. I put the link up in the chat room earlier. And basically we just need to flood those guys and let them know that we're not going to take that bullshit.
Do you have a website or something for that? I don't have a computer in front of me, so I'm at a bit of a disadvantage. I'm trying to take notes as we're talking so I can look this stuff up later.
Yeah, I do. And
okay.
Hang on one second. Let me get to it real quick.
Okay. Or you can shoot it to me in an email, whatever's easiest.
Yeah, that'd be easier if I do it that way.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'll shoot it to you after the show. But,
okay.
You know, where do we go? What do we do?
Right. Well, you know, this is something that we talked about before. That, you know, without somebody to follow that everybody's going to, you know, kind of collaborate with and move forward on this, all we are is an unorganized group of people that is fighting for a similar cause. And unless we have organization and somebody that's willing to step up that we can all step behind and support, all we're doing is stirring up a bunch of crap, and it's easy for them to pull that Freedom of Speech Act and say that Secret Service was in the area so we can't say shit and we're arrested. So, I don't know. The whole thing just pisses me off, honestly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, the more I read about this, the more it pisses me off, because no matter what we do or how we do it, we're always going to get screwed in the end.
Right. And it's crazy how, you know, the government was formed to serve the people. The federal government's not supposed to have complete power over the states. I mean, all this is broken down in a way that prevents us from having a dictator. And slowly those rights and those things that keep that from happening are being diminished, and everybody thinks it's for the greater good, and they're all standing up and clapping, doing that bullshit Pelosi dance, and they don't pay any attention to what the greater good is and how it's all being trampled on.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, I'm sorry, I had to put you guys on hold for a minute because my dog was barking outside like crazy, and I didn't want Kitty to hear me screaming at her to get in the house. Anyways, no, I mean, and that is, you know, people, as Bill would say if he was here, wake up. You know, nobody is paying attention, you know. And the ones that are, they still don't realize everything that's involved or that's taking place or things that are being taken away. And it's little by little, chunk, chunk, here we go. It's coming all down an insane line. And, okay, so at what point are we going to be able to sit there and speak freely, not only in our home, in our car, outside, you know, an establishment, whatever the case may be, where we're not being listened to? Not that we're doing anything wrong.
And all these people that are paying for their OnStar with Chevy,
that's the worst.
If that car's stolen, they can shut it off. You can be driving along that so much they can kill it. Well,
that's worse.
Has a speaker going one way where you can just start talking to them, you know damn well they're listening or have the capabilities and potential to do so.
You know, I can't divulge too much right now, but I'm going to tell you guys something. I've had the cable company is my phone company, and last week Tuesday when I got home, I had a Pacific Bell truck with cones out in front of my house with the guy working on my phone box on the side of the house. I didn't say nothing.
Sure.
I waited until he was done. I went in, came outside, walked around. He was there about 45 minutes. He just got here when I got here.
Right.
But I parked across the street. I made off like I didn't live here or anything. I came out after he was done. I opened the box and there was a little thing in there. A little red light on it. Well, it's about 60 million pieces right now after I hit it with my 3-pound sledge.
Right.
But I threw it all in the street.
But how sad is that? When is enough? You know,
exactly.
I mean, why are things going in the direction that is? We're not the terrorists. We're not out to hurt anyone, you know, and there are people that are. I can understand and would not have an issue if it was for people that they were watching for a particular reason, okay? But for just a general population, you know, like Phil and I have talked about before, if you stockpile food longer than a week to 14 days, you're a terrorist. Hello, pick up.
Right. Yeah, however, if you go to the back of your phone book, majority of the phone books on the very last page inside the cover, it has a FEMA checklist, what you should have in case of an emergency. Now, all the crap that they list on there is stuff that FEMA says you should have. However, if you have that stuff that's recommended by FEMA, you're a right-wing extremist that's a terrorist and every other damn thing. So
exactly. So, you know, they want you to have...
It's rewritten for their agenda. Oh, you're fine.
Right.
You know, they change it around to fit what they want to do. And,
okay.
You know,
and this is what I don't understand. Okay. So if FEMA says you need to have enough water for 2 weeks, okay.
Right.
You need to have, say if it's canned fruit, that's all you have. But you got to have enough for 2 weeks. Okay. Hello. Welcome to, you're a terrorist.
Exactly.
By FEMA.
Now,
okay.
Now, does that mean that every person in America that is of the Mormon faith is a terrorist? Because if I understand correctly, their religion recommends they have up to 6 months' supply of food on hand.
Exactly.
So that being the case, we could stereotype them, and it would be okay. However, if we step forward and stereotype anybody of the Muslim nationality,
Oh, demo racist.
Oh, don't open that door. And,
exactly.
There's a, and I wish I could remember, like I said, I'm at a disadvantage not having my computer.
That's
but
okay.
There was an article
I'm
with
you on that one tonight, so I'm with
okay.
you.
There was an article that was written, and it was published in, I believe it was in the New York Tribune or something along those lines. But it basically was bad-mouthing Catholics the whole way through.
Right.
Whole bunch of negatives. Well, one of the people that was reading it took that article, everywhere where it said Catholic, they put Muslim in it, submitted it to the newspaper. They got shot down because it was, you know, singling somebody out, it was racist, it was, I mean, all of this stuff that they got told. So she presented the other article and says, this is one that you already ran. How is that possible when this one isn't? They didn't have an answer. That kind of crap happens all the damn time, and nobody pays any attention to it.
No, they don't. That's the problem. They don't.
Mm-hmm. They're too busy keeping track of the newest video game or movie or whatever else.
Right.
Not paying attention to the, you know, the necessary things.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Well, you know what I keep track of? The latest shit to find out who's listening or watching.
Right.
But
exactly.
You know what? For people that aren't even doing anything wrong, why are they being watched? For what?
Well,
if they've never been in trouble, if they've never had a record of any sort, why are people like that being, and no, I don't mean like others should, okay, but I'm using it as an example. So if you have somebody that's never been in trouble, why do they get watched? What are they doing wrong?
You disagree with them.
Exactly.
If you don't back somebody 100%, then you're on the wrong side of the fence, and you're going to be either on the blacklist or the enemy list or whatever they call it anymore.
Exactly.
And I think,
you know, I don't know what kind of list it is anymore, because the rules change from week to week, sometimes day to day or month to month, you know.
Right.
And now, I don't know if you're familiar now, not next week, but the following week, here in Chicago, they're going to have the NATO summit meeting. Oh, wait until you see the news for that. You know, because
exactly.
I'm
and
sure they're going to make sure it's going to be nationwide. You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, not to be an asshole, because I know that's where you're from.
Chicago.
Yeah. Why did they choose Chicago? From what I understand, the infrastructure and everything where they're wanting to hold it is extremely dense, and it really isn't suitable for that type of an event.
It's not.
So,
you know, they also have a plan in Brian to
evacuate
11
Chicago.
Million people.
Right. You know,
how do you evacuate Chicago? Chicago
well,
is a big city.
To.
Exactly. Where are they going
to
put them? As
exactly.
the Great Lakes Naval Station up north? Come on,
they're coming to your house for a barbecue.
Yeah, they're going to come to my house for a barbecue. I'm going to invite them all here.
You know, they picked, obviously, the state where he was at for a while.
Right.
I mean, there's, I don't know. I'm sorry that it's, you know, where you're from and here I am talking about it.
No, don't apologize, because I find it ridiculous.
It's corrupt as hell.
Well, you know why? I'm going to tell you why.
Illinois is the most corrupt state out here, let me tell you, because we've had how many of our governors go to jail now? Come on,
right.
You know?
Well, and
that's a corrupt state.
I'm here to tell you, my dad had what they called back in the day a patronage job. If anybody knows what a patronage job is when your guy's in, you're in. And when I was a kid, I used to put $5 bills in an envelope and then pass them out on election day.
Really?
Yep.
Impressive. So you were a brat when you were a kid. It wasn't just
was
as being an adult.
Look at that. You're already in the political corruption when you were that age. No wonder you're on the damn list.
Exactly.
So now, guess what? Every time, as we're talking to Phil, we're going to be on the list now.
You know, honestly, I have no
I
doubt
believe
that there
that.
Is one. And as it progresses and gets narrowed down, I probably move further and further to the top.
Right.
I don't wish harm on anybody. I don't agree with what's happening.
Neither do
I. I respect the office. I don't respect how it's being run. I don't agree with it. And as a American citizen, it's my right to disagree with it. If
exactly.
I could be
we don't always
another
have
nationality,
to agree.
Right. And if I was of another nationality here illegally, and I was doing far worse things than talking civilly as we are now, it would be okay because they wouldn't want to trample my rights. However, since I'm a citizen, it's not okay to talk about it.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm half Native American, half German. Okay. So here we know what people think about Germans and what has always been stated because of Hitler. Okay, then you have Native Americans where the government came in and took everything away and flopped them on little lands and said, live, but you live our way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't speak your native language. You can't do your traditional, you're an American now, you know, out of being native. And so how rude is that? Have you ever been on a reservation?
Yes.
Right, yeah. South Dakota, you bet.
Yeah. You know how sad that is?
Oh, it's
exactly. Awful. You know, mm-hmm. And the thing is, unless if you've been on it, which we all have here, most people do not understand the concept of what the government is capable of doing and how they suppress people.
Right.
And it's wrong, you know, but what can they do? This started back so long ago. And, you know, so I don't sit there and criticize, and I never will, somebody's race. Because the sad thing is, we fall into something, okay, whether it be our race, our religion, whatever the case may be. There's good and bad in everybody and everyone. But to sit there and make a justification of this is your life now, live it,
mm-hmm.
because this
right.
is all you're ever going to have. How do Native Americans expect to further their education when they can't even get the right books?
You know, and in a lot of situations, that's true. You know, and
exactly.
you know, honestly, with every situation, there's generally corruption. They go without something for so long, they're finally given, you know, whether it be a grant or donations or whatever, you know,
right.
people are not perfect. And so you've always got some
no.
form of corruption, and that those funds might be put elsewhere, whatever. But,
exactly.
you know, everybody needs to be given a fair chance. And I'm sorry that they were given a bum rap. You know, I'm part Cherokee, so
am I.
I'm not enough to really be, you know, prancing the streets and telling everybody about
right.
it, but there's some in the bloodline. And
well,
I
no, I mean, I'm half. But, you
so
know, the sad thing
the
is, my, you know, the saddest thing is they get bullied on their own reservations. Okay.
Right.
Because of who they have as their elected police and everything else. You know, it's all corrupt. You know, the sad
right
thing is every year, if you help out the Pine Ridge, you know, I've stashed in letters. You know, I don't know who this is going to. But, you know, if you need anything else, here's my information. And letters that I have received back, you know, I mean, my children have sat there. How do you understand what they're saying? I said, it's not hard. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's sad. You know, my children have sat there and, how sad is this? I said, exactly. Welcome to
right.
the U.S. of A.
Exactly. And how much of that is because there's a hyphen in between what they are in America? If we were Americans and we all worked together to make things happen, but there is always that constant reminder, you can't be an American. You've got to be Caucasian, Mexican. You know, I mean, they've got all of these terms ahead of that. And as long as we're hyphenating
exactly.
each other and singling and segregating each other out, there's going to be these issues. And it
exactly.
starts at the top when the president is still singling that out and making reference to Black Americans, White Americans, all of this. That's
right.
a crock of shit.
Or Pacific Islander. You know, come on. How many times
yeah.
do you see an application or some kind of form, what's your nationality, what's your race? You know, okay,
exactly.
why do you need to know? In fact, when they have the canvassers come around, you know, for the census,
right.
I find them funny. And I've sat there and I've told them, I said, get off my property. Well, we need this information. I said, they already know who I am. I don't need
right.
to sit here and have you fill out paperwork. They know exactly
who I am.
Yeah,
if you want to have a census, go to the post office.
You know. And, see, that's another thing that just gets my goats. You know, it's like, well, we're here to get your information. Well, we need to have this. Why do you need to have it? If you fill out income tax, the government knows who you are. They know
right.
where you live. They know what
they
you
know where to. Actually, that's partly
everything.
True. They
exactly.
know where you're at if they need your money. They don't know where you're at if you pay too much.
I know.
Yep.
Now, let's figure this one out because this just boggles my mind. You know, I'm sorry. I just find it, you know.
Are you having a blonde moment?
No, I'm not having a blonde moment. I'm in my brunette head like I should be. But, you know, it boggles my mind of how they can be so arrogant. You know,
well,
they know
a great
exactly
story
who
for
we
you.
Are.
Go ahead.
I got a letter that I didn't claim all of my income, that there was a pension fund that I failed to tell them about from 2003. And
oh.
they not only gave me that information, they told me what state it was in and gave me the information of who the pension was from. So I'm thinking, hell, I need to get that handled. You know, obviously I don't want
right.
to be the guy that doesn't pay the
penalized.
Taxes and I'm bitching about
right.
everybody else that doesn't. So
exactly.
I call up the pension fund. I give them all of my change of information and everything else. And I said, so, you know, since your pension is, it was basically rolling over into something else, I said, what are my options? And she says, well, you send us all of your change of address, and in this situation, you can roll it to something else, or we'll cut you a check for the amount. And because it was through the labor union. Well, it was from Nevada. I was working in California, and we made a little loop through Nevada. I was there for 52.1 hours.
Wow.
My pension fund was $5.21. And those sons
but
of bitches
you,
sent me a letter telling me that I did not claim that in my taxes.
Can I? But, you know, the funny thing is, okay, how anal is that? I'm sorry. It's even if it's 50
it
cents.
Is. Well, you know, the best thing about it is the crap I was sending back and forth, you know, that they sent me and I sent back and then they resend me and I all that crap. I mean, the post office made more damn money than I had in my pension.
Right.
So. You know, it's ridiculous. Figure this shit out. And, you know, there's certain things that you can let go or you can send a note. I mean, I realize that if a few thousand people had $5.21 that they didn't claim, that
right.
adds up to quite a bit. Absolutely.
I can understand that.
But are you serious to send me something like that I'm delinquent on my damn taxes for $5.21? You know what?
You
send
know,
it to
the
me
funny
and let me
thing
pay
is...
next year.
You know, the funny thing is they had a story here years back of a woman, an elderly woman, okay, that refused to pay, I want to say it was a penny or something, to the IRS, you know, because it's ridiculous. You spend more on a stamp than what you would placing a check for the amount of 1 cent.
Exactly.
How anal is that? But, I mean, they wrote her so hard, it went in the news here, you know, on the news networks, and I just sat there and I thought, are you kidding me? She's 80 years old. What are they going to do to her? And, you know, it's a penny, you know. And so, again, you know.
Well, here, all right, I got one for you right now. California is going to do this thing. It's called Prop 29. Okay?
Okay.
What it is, if you smoke cigarettes or cigars, or if you use smokeless tobacco, you are being targeted for a $735 million tax hike. Prop 29, which will appear on a June 5th California ballot, more than doubles the state tax on cigarettes and nearly doubles the state tax on cigars and smokeless tobacco.
Okay. Now, how much are your cigarettes there?
Yes, and all that money is going to be by all those lobbyists and shit who put it in there, and none of the money will be, it's going to be collected in California, but it's going to be used for other subsidies, and it's got a loophole in it to shortchange California schools by more than $300 million per year. And that
oh,
money
yeah.
is going to be, it allows the California tax dollars to be spent in other states and even in other countries. It prohibits the governor, the legislator, or state auditor from changing the initiative to fix the problems like waste or abuse. For 15 years, you're going to be under the gun if you vote yes on this.
Okay, well, here's a funny thing to that. Now, here in the state of Illinois, they did the same thing. So the money that they were hiking on beer, or I mean alcohol, cigarettes, was supposed to go to the schools and to improve our major roads, highways in Illinois, okay? Now, since that actually supposedly took effect, it hasn't happened. Schools have closed.
Right.
They've gone to charter schools. Some have had to go to charter schools. You know, when they close one down, okay, well, we need to have something here. Poof, here comes a charter school. So, you know, okay, enough with the wine. Just say what you need to do with it. It's not improving our highways and our major roadways, because if you've ever driven in Illinois, wow, the potholes you can find. You know,
now I just think with them running that tax in California and putting it in other countries and other states, I mean, if it's a city tax or a state tax, it needs to stay in that area. And if you're paying a state tax and it's going to other countries, all that does is put us in the line more for the UN one world government bullshit, which is coming into play that people don't pay any attention to that either.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's
how many other countries does the president or whoever is running take their funds from other countries? I mean, if you're running for president here, get your funds from here. Don't let the Prince of Arabia and everybody else put your bill so you can run this country. If that doesn't tell you there's a hidden agenda, then you're an idiot. So I don't know. It just pisses me off, too.
Okay, well, let's look at it this way. How much is a pack of cigarettes in your state?
Oh, I want to say it's about $4.50, something around there.
Okay. Phil, how much in your state?
About $4.75, something like that. Depends. I have a coupon. I think it's $5.60 or something like that.
Okay. Now, the county, you know, most states say everybody has county or township, okay? And the county I'm in Illinois, which is the largest county in Illinois, and highest for a pack of cigarettes, name brand, is $10. Off brand is $7.80. So if you wanted to get a carton of Marlboro cigarettes, per se, that's going to cost you just right about $100. But if you go out of the county I reside in, you're going to spend about $38. $40 for a carton of cigarettes.
Okay, well, so I have an abstract question then. So, gun control, basically, you can't have a firearm in Illinois, correct?
You can.
No, I got news.
You can have a firearm. But you have to
have a firearm.
I don't
care what they tell you. I've been to Mexico where they tell you you can't have a gun. I've seen more guns in Mexico than I've seen in the United States.
Yeah,
right.
Now you can have a firearm in Illinois as long as you have a
firearm. I was thinking they had the strictest laws other than, of course, Washington, D.C., as far as having a firearm.
No.
Okay.
But, you know, the difference here than California, now in regards to if you have a bike, you don't need a helmet in Illinois.
Right.
It's not required. Now, if you feel necessary to want to wear a helmet.
You just like beating that horse when I'm around, huh?
I know. You know what? Because you are confined in your elements in regards to your rights. Here, it's more open. Now, in several states, you're not allowed to wear a certain attire. Here, you can.
Okay. Yeah, I was
so,
just curious.
You know, we do have our good and our bad, you know. Unfortunately,
right.
I live in the highest tax county. We're higher than California and New York. So even our gas prices. But in the long run, they're less lenient on things. Now, in regards to a blade, if you have a knife, it's 7 or 8 inches on what you're allowed. And that's not illegal.
I was just curious what the armed robbery percentage was in that county with the higher price of cigarettes and taxes compared to adjacent counties with a lower price on that.
Well, let's look at it this way. When you go further south from, have you ever been to Illinois or no?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, we have two airports. O'Hare is our big international airport, obviously. We have a smaller airport. I'm closer to the smaller airport. So the further south you go from me, you're going into, I call it, cornfield land, you know.
Okay.
So the crime is less further south than what it is where I'm at going north, like up towards Illinois-Wisconsin border. So robberies, burglaries, murders, yeah, we're up there. We're up there.
Right. Well, even
bank
right
robberies.
Right now, according to the news, Chicago has the highest per capita murder rate in the nation right now.
Yeah, and it used to be Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana used to be known for years as a murder capital. But now, here we step up. People want to put Chicago on the map, and they have. You know, it's gang violence, you know, street gang violence, and it's a sad situation in that regard because there's so many innocent women, children, men that get caught in the crossfire.
Right.
But, yeah.
Sounds like a great place to have the G8 summit.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. They're not ready. They are not ready. And, you know, they're talking about security. The demonstrators have been here, not in full force yet, but the demonstrators have been here since March, February.
Oh, I believe it.
This is going to be huge. Now, back in 98, I think it was, when they did the summit meeting in Seattle, Washington, that was horrific. I mean, the violence that broke out and everything else. And they're not ready for it. They spent $165 million on, in regards to helmet gear for rioting, okay? That's not enough. So we're going to have Secret Service. We're going to have the National Guard. We're going to have the feds. They're pulling everybody in. But it's still not enough. Now, they changed the rules here in regards to, we always had Saturday court. So say if you got in trouble, you got, say, arrested wee hours of the morning on Saturday, you know, they had open court 9 a.m. for your bond, whatever. Now they changed that. Courts are closed on Saturdays now. So whatever takes place during the NATO summit meeting here, when you get arrested, now you got to wait until Monday and meet the Monday judge. And they never come in happy anyways. But the laws now that are pulling tight for this weekend event that will take place here in 2 weeks, if you were a tourist and you were coming in and all of a sudden you have a recording device or you have your phone, guess what? You're arrested. This is how hard they're going to be because they don't want anything recorded, even though it's your rights. If you want to just stand by and watch how things were taking place, you have that right. That is your right. You can record. But if you get caught with a phone or any recording device, you will go to jail.
They confiscate it.
And
guess
what?
All they're doing is they're going to be flooding their jails.
Well, here, I got one for you guys. Florida Police Department is distributing false legal guidelines to officers on wiretap law. The Northport Police in Florida. Now we have proof that police are creating their own laws when it comes to wiretapping arrests. A legal bulletin that was compiled by the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office and distributed to other law enforcement departments in the state
is informing officers that they are within their legal rights to arrest citizens who record them if they specifically say they do not wish to be recorded. Still, police are steadily clinging to the advice listed in the January 2010 bulletin, including the Northport Police Department in Sarasota County, when they arrested photography is not a crime leader Steve Harrigan on wiretapping charges in January. He was jailed for 24 hours, but has yet to be formally charged. That's what I try to tell you guys. If they arrest you, they can hold you for up to 48 to 72 hours before they have to charge you. So if you're going to take them on, you're going to take them on the whole way.
Right.
I don't think you're allowed an attorney part of that time either, are you?
No, you're allowed your one phone call, and you're allowed to, you don't have to say anything until your attorney's present. So, you know, basically they can put you on a bus and send you from station to station and have him chase you down instead of putting you in one place for the 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah. You know, with that UN summit, all they're going to do is jack up all of the systems out there, this huge influx of people that they can't really handle. You've got all these different police, military, and other types of security forces coming in. All the protesters coming in with that bullshit they just passed about the courts not being open on that Saturday. The jails are going to be full, totally overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
What are they going to do with this excess of rioters and everybody else?
Exactly. You know, because we have two prisons that were built in the state that have never been used. They're brand new. They don't know what to do with them. Now, here we have jail and prison overcrowding, obvious, just like everybody else. But here's
Obama wants to use those to bring all the people from Guantanamo.
From Guantanamo Bay, yes. One is north of me and one is south of me. So now, would you actually want them in your state? Would you want them, you know, in a prison system in your state, you know, bringing everybody from Guantanamo Bay into your state? No.
I think they need to be distributed, but, you know,
they don't have to just focus
on
one state.
People there. Exactly. Run them around.
Right.
You know, obviously the prison is there. It's doing its job. And, you know, we need to have those types of places. But I think to pull everybody from Guantanamo and stick them in Chicago is a little bit stupid.
I think so, too. Now, they're trying to build another prison.
Right.
and honestly,
you've got the highest murder rate in the U.S., so that's probably one of the reasons.
But there's one prison here that not a lot of people are fully aware of, because since you're not familiar with the state, there's one particular prison in this state that is on a 24-hour lockdown, and all they house is murders.
Wow.
The whole entire prison is nothing but that. Now, they have had shows on it. We call it like the birdcage, okay, where it, in the main part of the prison, it's in a circle. And the guard area is like a tower, okay? So there are guns out of that tower pointed 24/7, 365 days a year. This is a prison that you would not want to be in for anything. Now, they do have a different section to that prison. Like, say, if you were in our county jail and they set you there to... what do they call that, where they process you, okay? And then you're there for so long, and then wherever they decide where they're going to stick you in the state, you know, in another facility, you're housed there for a short time, okay? Now, that is one crazy place I would not want to ever go to. I've seen it on the outside, never want to see it on the inside. But I have through, you know, like the Discovery Channel or something, you know, and they talk about state bill, you know. But that is housed the worst of the worst.
Now, what's Chicago's what's Chicago's stance on, or Illinois' stance on the death penalty? Obviously, if you've got that high of a rate in that many prisons, they're not for it, I'm guessing?
Oh, no. We killed John Wayne Gacy.
Okay. So
he had the lethal injection.
Okay. See, that's what
they
I was thinking,
lethal
but I wasn't
injection.
Sure if everything switched around.
No. They did a lethal injection. They also do, I think they stopped doing the gas. It's more of the lethal injection
right.
is what they do here.
Which is
most
places anymore, I believe.
Right. Well, Richard Speck was our famous serial killer back in the 60s, and because he killed 8 nurses. One got away,
mm-hmm.
lucky her.
Right.
And when Richard Speck was locked down, now he was one sick man right there, but it was, he actually died before he was, you know, to be put to death. Go figure that. Now, Joliet Prison used to, when it was open, used to do the electric chair.
Mm-hmm.
So every facility has something different, but they tend to stick more to the lethal injection. It's faster.
Right. Well, with all these murderers that are happening out there, I mean, are they all just getting life or...
The majority of them, yeah, because our different governor now.
The longer they're alive, the more money they get.
Exactly, because any person in prison here.
Or between $30,000 and $45,000 a year to house.
No, the state here gets $26,000 a year for each head that is inside the prison system. Okay, now when our wonderful Governor Blagojevich just went to prison for the next 14 years. Now, the one that took his reign, he stopped good time here in this state, December of 2010, okay? So, no, 2011, I'm sorry. So now, if you have a minor crime, say driving on a suspended revolt, it's your first time, you get popped, they sentence you to 1 to 3 years, okay? So if you do 6 months, you know, they could pop you out early on good behavior, you know, go through that whole fiasco. They stopped it. So there is no good time here. When you get sentenced, you get your term, period.
Right.
And so whenever they decide either overrule it or, you know, outvote it, whatever. And most of the prison systems here are the raunchiest you want to see, especially Cook County Jail. That is the raunchiest place you ever was. Division 1 is the worst, the county jail here. They house Capone. You know, they haven't even repainted that division. You know, it paint chips off, everything else is crazy. And it's colder in that section than where it is in the rest. So, you know, we've housed some pretty famous people here.
Right.
If you
well,
and
you would think
that,
you know, as horrific as those jails or prisons are that you're talking about, you would think
right.
that would deter some of these idiots from committing these crimes. But obviously that's not doing anything because your rates are still through the roof.
Exactly.
So
and
what
the
needs
worst
to happen
is,
to scare the shit out of these guys so they're not killing people?
I'm
don't
telling
give
you,
them
you know,
three hops and a cot with cable.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and the worst thing is, you know, the majority of the people in and out of the systems here are the repeat offenders. You know, and it's like, okay, do you enjoy prison that much? You know,
right.
some people rather have the 9-to-5 schedule. You know, come home, you have a meal, you got your clothes clean, your house is clean, bills are getting paid, whatever the case may be, you have
work.
Your freedom.
How does that work?
I don't know.
I want to know more about that.
Well,
how does that
you know
work?
What? In a normal home, that's how it's supposed to be. Maybe not 9-to-5, but, you know.
Hey, wait, what's normal?
I've witnessed it for the first time ever in my life. it's
what,
weird.
Normal?
Yes, it's hard for me to grasp. You know, I still get in awe. Because when you're around, you know, addicts and stuff your whole life, it's like when you see normal people, it's like, wow, you do exist. Thank you. You know, it is different. I'm telling you. I'm still trying to adapt here, and I'm just, like, out of my element. But, yeah, you know, you figure if somebody's gone in once, that's enough to scare, you know, because
right.
these men are not kind, you know, when they're locked up. They want to, you know, still hit people and everything else inside. So you figure, you know, I've never been arrested or anything like that. So if that ever happened to me, first time, hey, never again, you know.
Right.
But some people just don't get it, or they just don't. Or maybe they just don't know how to be. Does that make sense? Where they can function on an everyday schedule.
Right. Well, it all starts when they're younger. If they're, you know, if they're not disciplined as kids and they get away with everything because if they get spanked or whatever growing up, they can turn their parents
right.
in for child abuse. Well, then they get used to abusing the system and getting away with whatever the hell they want because that's become the norm. So
exactly.
What do you know? They grow up and they're criminals and they 3- and 4-time offenders go into prison or jail and they
right.
still don't learn their damn lesson because they've always gotten away with it.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like the guy, you know, I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to be a rat. Da,
and they're
da,
the
da.
First one to open up their pie hole. You know,
you're sitting in that chair, and they're telling you, you're going. It's just like state time and federal time. It's two different coins.
Right.
Right.
I don't care. I've talked to some people. I've talked to some heavy people. I've talked to people that are well-respected in certain communities, and they've said, when you're sitting in that chair, life has a way of coming around.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and like I said, you know, it's a shame because, you know, and a lot of these kids being, before becoming adults and going into the crime history that they have, a lot of them are latchety kids. Nobody's at home. They go into an empty home every day, you know, not knowing when somebody's going to return, where their next meal is going to be, or whatever the case may be, okay? Then you've got your ones that are sexually molested. Then you've got ones that are physically abused. You know, so here are three scenarios, three different types of a background where they don't know what normal is. So here they're angry, they're hostile, and as they get older, their hostilities come out into full play to where they become violent. That's all they know. Because that's all that's happened to them, you know. And the sad thing is the system does not, they do not have something to reform people, to make them look at the outside of, hey, it isn't so bad out there. You know what I mean? To get them to adapt back into society. If somebody's locked down for 35 years, in 35 years, there wasn't a computer yet. There wasn't a cell phone. You know, cable TV, you know. I mean, if you want to go into the logistics of that, where some people don't even know what cable TV is or how to even function a computer, you know, they've never heard of a cell phone except through talk or, they've seen pictures of them on TV. This is the sad part. This is somebody that, okay, after 35 years, they're being released back into society. They're scared because things have changed throughout the decades, and they don't know how to cope.
Right.
So the majority of them will commit crimes to go back because that's all they know. That's all they know.
I agree with that to a certain extent, but on the other hand, they're given a lot more creature comforts than people out here working for them get. Depending on where you go, there's a lot of places where they have computers, and these people are getting educations on your tax dollars
exactly.
to represent themselves in court. So
right.
to me, hearing people say that, oh, I've been locked up and I've been, you know, cut off from society,
to me, a lot of times that's a cop out because they're given things.
I look at it as a crack of shit. But,
exactly.
You know, like I said, the bottom line is each individual is going to come out to be the way they want to be, period. So it doesn't matter. You can throw the Bible at them until they get sick of hearing the word God. You can put them through vocational training, become a welder, become a carpenter, something, okay? But guess what? That just entices them to know how to make a weapon.
Exactly.
Not all of them will reform. You know, some of them are just so far gone, the system is all they're ever going to know.
Yep, that's unfortunate.
That's bad.
All right, well, let's change gears for a minute because I know Ryan wanted to talk about something he's got going coming up here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
that's you're good. I could talk about that all night, so no worries.
Well, we'll take another night and we'll do that.
Exactly. That'll work.
We'll do it Thursday then.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We'll rattle Bill there.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get calling in Thursday.
okay.
But, yeah, I've got, of course, Kasha's going to be in the May issue at East Coast Biker. So that'll be her second time back there. They haven't got the photos and stuff uploaded yet, but eastcoastbiker.net, she'll be Miss May. So I'm trying to really get the word out.
How do you get in there?
You just have to be absolutely stunningly gorgeous, I guess.
Okay, well, that puts me out. Sorry.
Actually, no, he's a great guy. He takes submissions, and, you know, a lot of it depends on what kind of following you have and how you're going to help to benefit his magazine. Obviously, everybody wants, you know, to push their product and get their name out there and, you know, basically show what they have to offer the community.
Right.
So by getting people that help to spread the word about his magazine, that's really what he's looking for. So,
okay,
yep.
Well, if you have the website information so Phil can put it out, and when he pops out the information to me, then I pop it out other places.
Okay. Yeah, it's eastcoastbiker.net.
Okay. East Coast.
And you can find it on Facebook, too, just under East Coast Biker. They're out of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And she was in there last year for June. And gave him the most hits he's had in the history of his magazine. And
wow.
I talked to him a couple times after that over a course of a few months, and her month was still getting more hits than the current month was. So we're trying
Fair
to
enough.
Outdo that this year and really get
okay.
the word out and just go through the roof. Not only does that help him, but he also lists charity events, bike rallies, all
right.
kinds of information. His slogan is, "You tell us, we'll inform everybody else." So
okay.
there's a lot of great links, legal assistance, bike parts, I mean, you name it, he's got it in that magazine.
Right.
And he does an online edition as well as a print edition. So if you're
okay.
within the five states adjoining Pennsylvania, you can get the print edition. Otherwise, it's an online edition, which is actually
well,
a completely
me.
Different magazine.
Yeah,
so,
I'm
you know,
only like 10 hours from Pennsylvania.
Oh, right on.
Two states away.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
We got going.
We're cutting down on the time here. I'm going to.
Okay, well, come back on Thursday,
Brian,
so that way we can get the rest of the information.
Yeah, Thursday. I'll get it to you. Thursday, about 6:30, 6:45, Ryan.
Okay, absolutely. And I'll try to get Kasha on, too. I know she's been wanting to, but she's got all kinds of stuff she's trying to catch up for me. So
okay.
I'll try to get her on and talk about this as well.
Okay,
okay.
Great.
And I think
very
everybody
cool. Good talking to you again, Nora.
Oh, same here.
You too. Don't be a stranger.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night.